March 5th, 2010. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. KBOO.FM on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Republicans meet this weekend at the coast to further deconstruct government.
Wind farms are ruffling Grand Ronde residents' feathers.
And Judith Gannon joins us to talk about the scene on the ground in Haiti and how Haitians themselves are coping.
Portland area weather today and tomorrow, foggy and sunny, highs near 60 and lows in the low 40s. And then beginning Sunday, rain and showers for the next few days.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. An editorial to kick things off. Water wars are heating up in the Klamath Basin. Granted, both fish and farms need water, but when we say farm here, aren't we really talking agribusiness? Small-scale farms have always known how to make the most of limited resources, and what fish need is not just water, but habitat. So it comes down to preserving commerce or the environment, and as the saying goes, nature always bats last. Nonetheless, Governor Kulongoski is expected to declare a drought soon. Without some good spring rains, as much as 80% of the Klamath Reclamation Project could be without water this year. Of course, it's particularly tough on farmers to have to face a drought with the restoration agreement not yet approved. The agreement, of course, is part of a two-part deal to remove dams from the river to help salmon. It offers drought provisions, such as storing more water in reservoirs over the winter, paying farmers to leave their land idle, and buying water from wells. A drought declaration next week would open up low-interest loans and other federal programs to farmers. Climate destabilization has more surprises in store.
The Willamette Valley has become a destination for self-styled gourmets and venophiles. One would think that preserving the region's environmental assets would be a no-brainer. Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality reports that about 72% of the 95,000 streamside acres that need restoration are on agricultural lands. The cost of restoring the valley streams in the $600 million to $1.2 billion range, and there are no sources of money that large. Federal and state governments and sewer agencies are chipping in millions for restoration work that reduces stream temperatures and benefits fish.
Bottom line is we have to preserve habitat for gourmets and venophiles.
Yeah.
Or they'll die out and become extinct. Well, Lionel is dead. He was a healthy, friendly, gregarious sea lion. Among the animals absurdly listed by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The list isn't based on hard science. It's merely a record of animals, quote, observed eating at least one fish, unquote, at Bonneville Dam, and therefore targeted for death. So when he showed up back at his ancient fishing grounds on the Columbia, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife killed him. My guest today is Matt Rozell with In Defense of Animals. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
This story, we had, of course, last year, sea lions were shot willy-nilly at Bonneville Dam. This, for some reason, is particularly sad. The thing, too, is that this is habitat for sea lions and for fish. When the environment is in a stable situation, when everything balances out and we are in the process of compromising things by ruining air, water, land quality, it all balances. We've thrown things out of balance to such a degree that now we are taking absurd, wildly ridiculous steps. Talk a little bit about habitat and why killing sea lions is not going to solve anybody's problems.
Yeah, I mean, the elephant in the room here are, you know, the multiple times that the Columbia River is dammed up. And the dams pose a huge barrier to the salmon migration, and both the smolts trying to get out to the ocean and then the adult salmon when they return to spawn. And everything about the dams causes, creates a sluggish river that is warmer than usual. It's destroying their habitat, making it more difficult for wild salmon to thrive. And we've gotten to the point where we've got an endangered species, and we're pointing the finger at another species that has coexisted with salmon for millennia. These sea lions and salmon have long lived in harmony with each other, and now sea lions are being condemned for simply doing what they do, which is eat fish, and they're being targeted and killed. And we find this to be a ludicrous distraction from trying to solve the real problems of habitat destruction and salmon recovery. There are two active lawsuits right now challenging the legality of this, because sea lions are a protected species by the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and it is only through a very specific loophole of Section 120 of the Act that allows for this to even take place, and that is being challenged in the Ninth Circuit, and it's currently under appeal. We're awaiting a decision on that appeal hearing, which took place a few months back. But meanwhile, the government is moving ahead with this horrible plan. Of course, Lionel got killed 2 days ago. Activists mobilized at the dam yesterday and had a rowdy protest and tried to get the attention of the government to come out and talk to us and answer some questions. But on the day of our event, we couldn't find a single official that would come out and talk to the public about some of the obvious questions that need to be answered here.
Of course, they wouldn't be there. And the idea, too, is taking it to the reductio ad absurdum logical end is we don't go into restaurants and shoot everybody eating salmon. I mean, the idea that shooting Lionel is going to solve salmon habitat problems is beyond ridiculous. My guest has been Matt Rizzo with In Defense of Animals, and I thank you so much for coming in today, for speaking with us today.
Yeah, people can find out more by going to sealiondefensebrigade.org. We do need monitors out there, so you can call In Defense of Animals at 503-249-9996 and find out how you can help.
And we'll have all that information on the KBOO website.
Thank you.
Lewis and Clark Law Professor Jim Huffman formally announced his candidacy yesterday for the U.S. Senate seat held by Democrat Ron Wyden. Huffman is capitalizing on the surge of anti-government sentiment that's delighted mainstream media recently. In his announcement speech, Huffman displayed an alarming economic naivety by pontificating that Oregonians still believe the private sector is their personal job savior, then going on to say he didn't claim to have expertise sufficient to say how to control the big increases in Medicare and Social Security costs that are the major causes of the exploding federal deficit.
Sounds like the right guy for the job.
Yeah.
This weekend, Oregon's Republicans meet at the coast. Want to join them? It's easy. They'll be at the Seaside Convention Center. That's 415 First Avenue in Seaside. Friday evening, it's open to the public. That's you. Only registered delegates will be allowed in the hall during floor sessions. Dinner tickets are required. And get this. Here's a list of some of the sponsors. Oh, let me tell you first that Congressman Greg Walden is the keynote speaker. Walmart is the main sponsor. KPAM is another one. The Oregon Bankers Association. The Oregon Medical Association, Oregon Right to Life, the National Rifle Association, and LifeWise Health Plan of Oregon. If you go to Dorchester 2010, you can get all the information.
Oregon's Republican Party chairman is apoplectic, but then it's the rage that's the rage among trendy right-wing grandstanders. Republican State Chairman Bob Chernin has told two Republican state representatives who voted for tax increases last year that they should either refuse campaign help from unions or think about quitting the party's primary elections. The Republican lawmakers are Greg Smith of Heppner and Bob Jensen of Pendleton, who face primary challengers running on anti-tax platforms. It's just another sign of the fury among conservatives over the tax increases on business and the wealthy that Oregon voters approved last month.
And now we speak with Judith Galen. She is a Haitian-American woman just back from Haiti. Chile is still being rocked by aftershocks from its quake, but Chile has the soft, plump cushion of money to fall back on. Haiti is a different matter. It's a case study of what happens to a small nation that dares to question and stand up to the Western way. Balancing the rubble and the presence of the military is a full-time job there for people working on reconstruction. And my guest, Judith, just came back. Good morning, Judith, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Good morning.
Talk about your recent trip to Haiti and what you saw there, what you were able to accomplish.
Our trip to Haiti was at first a challenge, but it was a positive experience for us because, you know, that I had 15 Portland firefighters with me, two doctors and two nurses from Portland. We have accomplished a lot. We mostly seen acute care and pregnant women. We delivered a few babies. And women are struggling right now because, you know, they lost their husbands and they lost their kids and they're starting having heart problems. But we were able to help them with some mental health as well because we had a mental health nurse with us. So it's been very bad down there.
When this first happened, of course, the U.S. military came marching in full force. What has the effect of the military presence been?
The military presence, I think it's a great presence for the Haitian population right now because of the place that we stay in, we stayed with the U.S. military as well. I think they've been very helpful down there.
And what about the camps? I want to ask you about that. There, rains are coming, I understand, and people will be basically living in tents. How many people are going to be in that situation, and how are they being helped? What is being done to cope with that?
I mean, I cannot tell exactly how many people. I heard that 30,000 people will be sent from Port-au-Prince to another place, living in a tent. It's pretty bad when it's raining. They cannot sleep. They're standing up all night long. I got pictures and videos that I'm going to put together in a documentary very soon, and I'll let everyone know about that event so that they can see what we have accomplished so far. They're struggling for tents right now, and I'm shipping a container very soon, so we will fill this container mostly with shelters, with tents. This is the biggest need right now.
So you'll be going back, is that correct?
Hopefully, if I don't go back, my husband will or someone else from our organization will go back in 3 months or so with another group.
What would you say that, for example, our listeners right now who want to continue to support the rebuilding efforts in Haiti, what can we do to assist your efforts?
I mean, it's great to get contact with organization, especially our organization since we're Haitian. We know where to go, where to take people, how to get contact. It will be great to contact me for any person who's interested in rebuilding.
And just quickly to wrap up here, how can we contact you?
They can contact me at 503-764-7244 or visit our website, shocknorthwest.org.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Judith Gellin with the Society for Haitian American Arts and Culture, just back from Haiti. Thanks very much. And finally, Liam has this.
Union is a small town at the south end of the Grand Ronde Valley, but it's messing with Texas. Union is resisting the blandishments of developer Horizon Wind Energy of Houston. Horizon wants to install wind turbines on Craig Mountain just outside town, as well as on Clark Mountain, southeast of town. Union could be the front line in the state's next big environmental battle, wind farms. And the town's not alone. Resistance to projects in the gorge and at Steens Mountain are also on the rise. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, March 5th, 2010. Engineering is Todd Wilson. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBU AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You've been listening to news and commentary from Air Cascadia on KBOO, your community radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, KBOO.fm on the web. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. A report from Chiapas where they're cracking down on indigenous communities. A report from occupied Palestine where they're arresting children. And an interview with human rights activist Dr. Mads Gilbert.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And have a good day.